are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy holidays, everybody. Consider this your Christmas episode, covering both Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, of course, coming in the midst of Hanukkah as well. So happy holidays to everybody. We will only have a total of three episodes this week due to the holidays. We'll be back on Thursday and Friday of this week, previewing the finish to the road trip that is upcoming this week, as well as the upcoming homestand as the Wolves return home to, I guess, the not-so-friendly confines of Target Center, as, of course, it hasn't been really any more or less friendly, I guess, technically, based on the record, a little less friendly than playing in opposing teams' arenas so far this year. So we'll talk a little bit about those games upcoming and whether or not there is light at the end of the tunnel for the Timberwolves. Today, we're going to talk mostly about the recent losses by the Timberwolves, which have now reached 11 losses in a row. There's been three additional losses since our last episode at the end of last week. Of course, Friday night in Denver, Saturday in Portland, and then Monday at Golden State. Currently, Towns hasn't played in 10 days. It was a week ago Friday when the Wolves lost to the Clippers at home. It was the Wolves' seventh loss in a row at that point. Since then, there have been four more losses. There was the four-day layoff. The Wolves lost last Wednesday and then dropped three games from Friday to Monday this weekend. And the rest of the Wolves roster has simply failed to step up, as we'll cover extensively here in today's podcast. So first of all, let's quickly summarize the past few days of Wolves basketball and just kind of some high points from each game, since we haven't had the opportunity to do our typical recap and studs and duds from each game. But I think it's important to, I guess, if we can, just kind of recap the last 4 days, which featured an 0-3 record for the Wolves. Friday in Denver, Nikola Jokic had a triple-double, really had a pretty easy field day with no Karl-Anthony Towns in the lineup. The Wolves really struggled to contain Jamal Murray, which was predictable. We talked about it in last Friday's preview show related to the game in Denver. We talked about concerns with Will Barton as well as Gary Harris in the backcourt for the Nuggets, but it was really Jamal Murray was the only one that hurt the Wolves significantly in this game. It was a game that the Wolves hung around in, and they were at least competitive against a much better team. The Wolves were down 13 at the end of the first quarter, but had a strong middle part of the game and really were still in the game down the stretch. They pulled within a few points, you know, with a couple minutes to go, but the Nuggets kind of held the Wolves at arm's length. It never really felt like the Wolves were in it. Maybe if they weren't in the middle of an 11-game losing streak, you know, it would have felt a little different to the viewer, but in this case, they weren't blown out of the water by an obviously superior team. At the time, moved to 19-8, the Nuggets did, and were 13-3 at home. As mentioned, the Wolves struggled with Jamal Murray. He was 9-of-19 shooting, 3-of-6 from beyond the arc, had 28 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and was a game-best plus 15 in 37 minutes. The Wolves just couldn't really contain him, and while Gary Harris was 0-of-4 beyond the arc, Will Barton was just 1-of-3 and had 13 points. It was Murray and Jokic that killed the Timberwolves. Jokic had 22, 10, and 10, was 10 of 16 from the floor, actually made a couple of threes. One was pretty timely towards the end of the game. And the Wolves' rotation was as you might expect, with no Karl-Anthony Towns in the lineup. Wiggins played a game-high or team-high 37 minutes. Nobody else on the Wolves played more than 27 in this game, surprisingly. And the only other players in double figures, Gorgui Dieng had 18 and 6, was very good. Robert Covington had only 10 points in just 23 minutes in this game. He did have 4 fouls. And then Jeff Teague had 13 off the bench and was 4 of 11 shooting from the floor, 2 of 6 from beyond the arc. The Wolves as a team were just 10 of 42 from deep. That's under 24% from the field. The Nuggets were 10 of 28, which is about 36%. They're not known for their three-point shooting and are a rather methodical team, and they picked apart the Wolves in the half court. Their offense was clicking, especially in the first quarter, and they did enough the rest of the game to hold the Wolves at arm's length. The Nuggets also only attempted 12 free throws, but they made 11 of them, while the Wolves were once again below average from the line, shooting 18 of 27, which is 66.7%. Biggest culprits, free throw shooting. There wasn't really anybody that stuck out. Everybody that shot a free throw, though, missed one, which has become a recurring theme. I think we talked about that in our episode Friday. Of the Wolves players that played, everybody but three players attempted at least one free throw, and everybody that attempted a free throw missed at least one free throw. So pretty pretty disappointing overall performance from the Wolves without Towns. But again, at least they hung in there. Gorgui Dieng was probably the biggest pleasant surprise in this game. He had 18 points, just 6 rebounds, but he only played 24 minutes. The Wolves were really careful about almost splitting the minutes between Gorgui Dieng and Noah Vonleh evenly. Noah Vonleh played 20 minutes in this game, and Gorgui had those 18 points. He was 4 of 6 from beyond the arc, was the Wolves' best long-range shooter, and which, you know, good for Gorgui, but that says a lot about the Wolves' perimeter attack in this game. 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. 3 of his 6 rebounds were offensive, so only 3 defensive rebounds for Gorgui Dieng. Nobody on the Wolves grabbed more than 8. Jordan Bell had 8 rebounds in 16 minutes. So cliff notes from this game: another high usage guard beat the Wolves from the perimeter. That's Jamal Murray. Jokic picked the Wolves apart with no Towns. The Wolves didn't get any offense outside of Andrew Wiggins and Gorgui Dieng, and they had nobody crack 20 points. Poor free throw shooting and poor 3-point shooting once again for the Wolves are the story from the game on Friday night. And then, of course, after playing at altitude on Friday, the Wolves had to turn around and play on Saturday in Portland against the Trailblazers, who have had a disappointing season so far, but are obviously still a dangerous team, you know, with the backcourt, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. So the Wolves headed to Portland and were very competitive in this game. They did have a bad start once again and trailed at halftime by double figures. But the third quarter belonged to the Wolves and really Jeff Teague. Teague had a strong third quarter after struggling early in the game. He had 4 points at halftime. Covington had 0 points at halftime. And then Teague scored 14 just in the third quarter alone. Andrew Wiggins was decent in this game. He was better than he had been on Friday. But McCollum and Lillard really did what they wanted to do on the other end of the floor. And that's what spelled disaster for the Wolves in this one. Also, Hassan Whiteside had a monster game. He had 20 rebounds. In this one, I think he only had like 14 points, but he rebounded the ball at will, and the Wolves front court just couldn't do anything about it. Whiteside had 16 and 22. Gorgui had a decent game. He was 15 and 12, 3 of 7 beyond the arc, but then was 3 of 12 overall. So that meant he was 0 of 5, if you want to do the math on that, on any attempt inside the 3-point arc. And his 12 rebounds in 37 minutes, which was a team high 37 minutes, was not able to come close to Whiteside's 22 rebounds that he pulled down in this game. As far as the backcourts, for as good as Teague was in the third quarter, and Napier himself, actually, he started this game as well as he did on Friday night in Denver. Napier had 18 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 7 of 15 from the floor. He was 4 of 10 from beyond the arc. And again, Teague was good, 6 of 9 from the floor, 18 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. But on the other end of the floor, they couldn't contain Portland. And McCollum had 26 points on 8 of 23, 5 of 10 from beyond the arc. Lillard had 29 points, took him 25 shots to get there, and he was just 3 of 12 beyond the arc. But Lillard and McCollum were simply too dynamic for a duo like Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier. And while Teague and Napier, again, were good offensively, they were bad defensively. And Whiteside's 22 rebounds, Scott Labissiere also had 8 rebounds in just 26 minutes. The Wolves had 12 from Gorgui Dieng. Nobody else on the roster had more than 6 rebounds. And that was Andrew Wiggins and Jeff Teague tying for the second on the team with 6 rebounds apiece. So getting beat 45-39 overall in the glass is not a recipe for success, especially if the team isn't going to play much defense either. Strangely enough, the Wolves were actually good in the two areas where they've been relatively inefficient lately, beyond the arc and at the free throw line. The Wolves were 15-37 from beyond the arc. That's over 40%. 15 of 16 from the free throw line. Jeff Teague was 2 of 2 from beyond the arc. Napier is 4 of 10. Wiggins, 4 of 6. Gorgui Dieng, 3 of 7. But defense and rebounding were an issue, and the Blazers were able to pull away down the stretch. The Wolves really competed in this one. This was the best game that they played over the past few days. And after the tough loss in Denver, it seemed like they had a shot at pulling this one out in the second half. But Portland's never an easy place to play. And the Wolves, just without Karl Anthony Towns, this was always going to be a difficult game on the second night of a back-to-back on the road. And when it was all said and done, the Blazers' backcourt and the rebounding of Hassan Whiteside was too much, even for a Wolves team that did a pretty good job putting the ball in the basket on this particular night. All right, next up, we're going to talk about the Warriors game, which was easily the most disappointing game of the past few days. Before we get to that, I did want to mention our new friends from Casper. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockednba and using promo code LOCKEDNBA at checkout. It's casper.com/lockednba, promo code LOCKEDNBA at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. For as many positives and silver linings that we could arguably take from the losses in Denver and in Portland on Friday and Saturday night, respectively, Monday night's loss against Golden State, there was really no silver lining at all in this one, unless you want to count G League call-ups playing competitive basketball, which is about it. The Wolves simply were outplayed by the league's worst team. The Warriors had 6 wins coming into the game. They had just won their previous game, of course, but that was against the New Orleans Pelicans, who are the league's second worst team, or at least the Western Conference's second worst team, and also had just beaten the Wolves last Wednesday. So the Wolves have now lost to the 2 worst teams in the Western Conference in the past 5 days, I guess. And the Warriors, this game really wasn't in doubt. The Wolves made a second half push. They were down double digits at halftime. They were down for, you know, the whole third, whole second half, and mostly double digits during the second half. And it's really hard to find a silver lining in a game like this one. When it's loss number 11 in a row, it's an inferior opponent on the road, even though Towns isn't playing. And the Wolves were likely never going to win in Portland and in Denver with no Towns, but they should be able to win at Golden State with no Towns. Granted, the Warriors had, you know, had the only 2 all-stars on the court in this one, D'Angelo Russell and Draymond Green. So I guess there is that to consider, but the rest of the Warriors roster isn't as good as the rest of the Wolves roster. The Wolves had, you know, 0 superstars. Andrew Wiggins has been crashing is a strong word, but I don't know, traveling at a pretty high rate of speed back down to earth over the past couple of weeks. He's still, you know, the body of work so far this year is much better and more encouraging than the past couple of seasons, but he's no longer playing at an all-star level. And that was an issue in this game with no other offense to speak of for the Timberwolves. Andrew Wiggins in this game had 22 points. He shot just 10 of 27 from the field, 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. He only attempted 2 free throws in this game. 1 of 2 from the free throw line in 39 minutes. It's astonishing to me that a player with as high of a usage rate as Andrew Wiggins, and we'll get into some of those season metrics for him here in a few minutes, but he shot 27 times in this game. That's more than a quarter of the Wolves' overall shots in this game. They only attempted 88 shots as a team. Wiggins attempted 27 shots. In fact, that's almost a third. The quick math, that's nearly 30%. Of the Wolves' overall attempts, and only managed to shoot 2 free throws. Again, 10 of 27 from the field. He had 7 rebounds in 39 minutes, 2 assists to 5 turnovers. And again, functioning as the de facto starting point guard, Shabazz Napier didn't play in this game. He had started on Friday and Saturday. Napier had an illness, did not start. Jeff Teague came off the bench, only played 19 minutes. Jordan McLaughlin also came off the bench, played 22 minutes. So Wiggins started this game as the de facto point guard, finished with 2 assists and 5 turnovers, was a team worst, minus 20 in this game, which is just unfathomable when the Wolves needed him the most. 22 points on 27 shots in 39 minutes. The Wolves didn't have really any offense from anyone else. Jordan McLaughlin, and I guess, and weirdly, kind of went off in the second half. I don't believe he's played since that early stretch of games when both Napier and Teague were out back in November, early November. And McLaughlin played 22 minutes, which is the most of any bench player on the Wolves. And 7 of 13 from the floor, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, 19 points, 4 assists, 3 steals, was a plus 8 on the game. Robert Covington played just 12 minutes in this game, 4 points, 4 rebounds. Okogie and Culver both started 15 and 14 minutes, respectively. They combined to shoot 0 of 9 from the field, 0 of 2 from beyond the arc. Just 5 rebounds combined, 1 assist combined, 2 points total combined between Okogie and Culver. Really, really, really bad overall performance by everybody in a Timberwolves uniform, except for Jordan McLaughlin. And Keelan Martin was very good too. He played 16 minutes, had 8 points, was 2 of 4 beyond the arc, was a team best plus 15. I'm rattling off a lot of plus minuses, which I don't love, and I talk about that quite a bit here at Locked On Wolves. But I think in a game like this, when you, the guy who's supposed to be your best player has your worst plus minus and the two G League guys each have the best plus minus, this team's only chance at winning was that late third quarter, early fourth quarter push when the Wolves got it back down to single digits and kept it there for a little while. You have to give some kudos to those G League guys, and plus minus kind of helps us paint that picture. There really wasn't much else here for the Wolves in this game. Gorgui Dieng struggled, 11-8 in 30 minutes, which is fine on almost any other night, but with no Towns, that's not enough from your front court. Noah Vonleh off the bench, 2 points in 17 minutes, did have 8 rebounds. Jordan Bell only played 4 minutes. Kade Bates, yeah, 10 points in 15 minutes. Just not much to write home about in this game at all. D'Angelo Russell was quite good. He was 5-11 from beyond the arc. He wasn't the 51 that he scored in the overtime loss to the Wolves back at the early part of November, but Russell did have 30 on 8 of 18 shooting, 5 of 11 beyond the arc. Alec Burks had 25 points, 3 of 6 beyond the arc. Draymond Green was very good, 9 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. The Warriors bench continues to not be good. I mean, Eric Paschal did play, but only played 16 minutes. And the bench just wasn't productive, but they got enough from the starters, from Russell and Burks and Draymond Green especially. But across the board, their starters outplayed the Wolves starters, and it was a little surprising that this final margin was only 9 points, given how poorly the Wolves played, how inefficient their offense was, and how with it the Warriors were, which is crazy to say about a team that's just been the bottom of the barrel this year, but compared to the Wolves. And then post-game, there were some pretty damning comments by the Wolves players, especially Andrew Wiggins came out and said, hey, the Warriors played harder than we did. And when you've lost 11 in a row and the guy who's was supposed to be the best player on the floor for your team is admitting that, and there's no answers and there's no end in sight, that's really difficult. And speaking of Andrew Wiggins, we're going to head into our last segment. We're going to talk a little bit about Wiggins and his issues, I guess, overall decline over the past couple of weeks, mostly coinciding with Karl Anthony Towns' injury, but starting a little bit before that, and what that might mean here moving forward for the Wolves. So much of the positivity that surrounded the Wolves' 10-8 start to the season was rightly pointed at Andrew Wiggins and related to his strong play during the first part of the season, and the focus on Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders and the new front office and coaching staff and their dedication to the highest efficiency shots, the most effective shots in a modern NBA offense, and where the Wolves wanted to be taking their shots, where they wanted to, you know, threes early and often, no long twos, attempts in the paint, drawing free throw or drawing fouls, trying to get to the free throw line. And none of that was wrong. And Wiggins was playing that way. And predictably, perhaps, that style of play has slipped a little bit for Wiggins. And it can be traced back to he missed a couple of games. There was, he had a personal, he was absent for personal reasons. I think his kid was sick. Then Wiggins himself was sick. And he missed a couple of games. And so a lot of the issues could be traced back to starting right around that time. And then also, more recently, the absence of Karl Anthony Towns. Wiggins is really, in the 4 games since Towns has been out, Wiggins has really only had, like, I would say, one really strong game. And overall has just been inefficient. A lot of his numbers have been crashing back down to earth. If you look at just his traditional numbers, his 3-point shooting percentage is back down at right at his career average. He's shooting 33.1% from beyond the arc. For his career, he's 33.2%. So if you include this year, each of the last 3 seasons, he's been right slightly above 33%, under 34% from beyond the arc. His career high season was, of course, the year before Butler came to the team, when he shot 35.6% from beyond the arc in year one of Tom Thibodeau. And since then, he's been hovering right around that 33% mark. He's attempting more threes than ever. His three-point attempt rate is still up. It's 32% of his shots that he attempts are from beyond the arc, which is great, but he's only making 33% of them. That's one of the biggest issues, is that he's been struggling from beyond the arc of late. His usage rate is now actually at a career high, and that has obviously spiked in the absence of Towns. But also, Wiggins has been operating the point so frequently this year because the Wolves haven't had point guard that they can trust get him and Towns the ball in advantageous scoring positions. Wiggins' usage rate is now back above where it was before Jimmy Butler came to the team. After the game against Golden State on Monday, Wiggins' usage rate is now up to 29.7% on the year. His previous career high was 29.0 back in the 16-17 season, which again was first year of Tom Thibodeau, the last year before Jimmy Butler. And since then, it of course dipped over the past couple of seasons with Butler and then obviously Towns being in the fold and playing extremely well. But Wiggins is back to, you know, Flip Saunders and pre-Jimmy Butler and Sam Mitchell era usage rates. And that's not exactly what the Wolves want. Granted, his assist rate is also by far to career high, and that's to be expected as he's initiating offense so much more frequently. The turnover rate that had been so impressively kept low is now crept back above. It's at its highest rate since his second year in the league, which was the Sam Mitchell year back in 2015 and 16. And that's a little bit of an issue, but again, to be expected if he's going to be handling the ball so often. However, if he's the de facto point guard, and he is, I mean, even if by position, say, you know, even Jarrett Culver might be getting the point guard moniker if he's in the starting lineup along with Wiggins. Wiggins is initiating the offense primarily in those situations. His assist rate should be higher than 15.8%. And there's really no two ways about that. His offensive and defensive rebounding percentages are still up. His total rebounding percentage is at a career high, which is great. And that has still been positive. He's been active there. He's been okay on defense, although not consistent. And so all this to say, his overall body of work is still much better than it had been previously. It's still much better than it had been over the past couple of years, especially with Jimmy Butler in the lineup. And so there's certainly, you know, there's certainly something to be said for that. However, the recent downturn is a little bit worrying, to say the least. And, you know, it, of course, he's having to carry a lot more with Towns not in the lineup. And the Wolves don't really have much other offensive firepower. And so that's part of the issue. Wiggins can't be, in case there was any, you know, in case this was unclear in any way, Wiggins cannot be the number one option on a team that's going to win a decent number of games. And that's just, it's just a fact. And if that wasn't clear before, it should be clear and obvious now. Wiggins needs another focal point of the offense that that is handling the ball, that they're funneling the ball to. Wiggins can't be the guy that other teams, in effect, it's similar to in football when teams load the box against a team with a dynamic running back and a poor quarterback. Opposing defenses can load, you know, quote unquote, load the box against Andrew Wiggins. And even if they're not double teaming him on the perimeter, they're bringing guys because they know Wiggins isn't as willing of a passer, even though he's been a little more willing this year. But the Wolves also don't have the shooters around him. With Towns on the floor as well, Wiggins' driving lanes are opened up so much easier and wider driving lanes with Towns and his 43% shooting percentage from beyond the arc, his dynamic rebounding. And Wiggins just simply isn't quite dynamic enough going to the hoop, or certainly as a jump shooter, to be able to carry the Wolves' offense. And he doesn't bring enough on defense to impact that under the floor positively either. So all that to say, I mean, it's not an overall indictment on the season. The season's not even at the halfway point. Wiggins can continue. He can find that magic again. And I do think he'll improve once he plays with Towns again. But this downward trend is absolutely a bit ominous, and it's something to keep an eye on as we move forward, and especially once Towns comes back. If there isn't a bounce back for Wiggins when Towns comes back, then all the nice things that were said over the past 5 or 6 weeks related to Andrew Wiggins kind of go out the window, as we've seen these upticks and these blips on the radar before for Wiggins, and unfortunately the inefficiency and the inconsistent passing and the inconsistent defense that might be where we're headed again. And I hope I'm wrong, but we'll, you know, I think we need to give it a bit of time and let Towns get back into the lineup and see how they function together and how this team rallies around those two moving forward. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thank you once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. We'll be back later this week as we take a look at the upcoming games this weekend as the Wolves return home to Target Center to cap off the 2019 calendar year. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.